your Bibles this morning, if you'll find your way to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter number 6. We don't have many men with us this morning, and so I will say to the ladies, perhaps you can apply this, just change the word from fathers to put in your place, if you will. Many sermons are on Father's Day, and they deal with what is a good father. They try to define what a good father is, and that's well to preach and good to preach, but this morning I want to go a little bit further and deal with how to be a good father. It's not enough just to know the characteristics, right, of someone who is a good father. But one must see or know what the need or how to be a good father. Now you say, well, preacher, you're not a dad. You're not a father. So how can you tell me how to be a good father? Well, this morning I want to tell you not my opinion. And you can go to a bookstore or library and you can find countless books on how to be a good dad, right? How to be good parents or grandparents or whatever the case may be. And you can find all kinds of opinions about how to do and how to be a good father. But this morning, I want to take what I say straight from the Word of God. The best manual that one can have for a father or for a mother or grandparents or whatever the case may be is to get it directly from what the Word of God says. So this morning, that's what I want to do. I want to take everything that I say, and there's about 10 points, all right? That goes against every seminary standard, right? 10 points in this message this morning, and I'll have you out by 1 o'clock at the absolute latest, okay? But all of these come straight from the Word of God. And I think if men as fathers, moms that maybe have to act in the place of a father in some instances, and perhaps even as those that hope to someday be, we can apply this in our life. I want to start out with Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 4 is our foundational verse, if you will, this morning. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 4. Of course, Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus here, and he is, in chapter 5, he's talking about renouncing false gods, renouncing the pagan system that a lot of the early Christians were struggling with, right? Because they had this lifestyle, and then Christ came in the scene. And when the church started in the book of Acts, and as it began to spread and grow, they began to revert back to this paganistic worship. And so they was trying to commingle Christianity and the teachings of Christ and the apostles into their paganistic styles as well. So in chapter 5, Paul is telling them to renounce those, right? And he goes on in chapter 5 and he talks about the household, a Christian household, and how it should be with the father, the mother, the children, and how obedience is supposed to be. And then in chapter 6, he changes into the children and the parents and talking about how that relationship should be. And so verse 4 of Ephesians chapter 6 says, "And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." Let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful, God, for the dads in our life. Lord, the examples that they set. Lord, we are thankful for your word as you teach us that as our Heavenly Father, how you provide for us as well. And God, I pray that now as I proclaim your word, that you would hide me behind that precious cross of Calvary. Lord, that these dear folk not see me this morning, God, but they would see you. Speak to our hearts, and may we listen, and may we obey that that you have called us to do. Save that one that is lost. Bring that one that is living in sin, God, to forgiveness and repentance. And Lord, we be careful to give you all the praise and the honor and the glory, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So, how to be a good father? First of all, to be a good father, you need to love your wife. I think that's pretty self-explanatory, right? To love your wife, your children watch how you treat their mother, right? They watch and they're listening. If there's anything that I've learned in the past years working in the educational system, I have learned that especially the younger they are, the more they catch on, right? They are watching and they're listening, whether we think they are or not. They are learning and they're forming their concept of what marriage is based on watching you. We're creating a pattern or a blueprint, if you will, for marriage with your children. And so I will say to men, if you disrespect your wife, then your son will carry that into his marriage. If you verbally or mentally or physically abuse your wife, perhaps your daughter will expect that in her marriage. If you treat the mother as if they aren't worth very much, if you are degrading the home and the family and marriage, that will carry over into their homes and their families and their marriages. However, on the flip side of that, if they visibly can see that you show that love and that respect to their mother, then they will also show that same to their spouse. If you honor your wife, then your daughter perhaps will never be satisfied with a man who dishonors her. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 28 says, "So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loves himself." So we need to love our wives. Secondly, to be a good father, don't expect perfect children. Don't expect perfect children. Now, I know it's always, especially in grandparent situations, how they have the perfect grandchild, right? That's all the expectations. And I know that every dad and every mom will always say, "I have the perfect child." Just like there are no perfect fathers, there are no perfect mothers, there are no perfect children. There are no perfect children. And fathers cannot expect their children to be perfect. We can't, as fathers, you can't expect them to meet all of your expectations, right? You can't expect them to meet all the goals that perhaps you have for them. They can't be necessarily everything that you may want them to be. Too many fathers, I think, try to live out their own lives through their kids. They try to, they want their sons to be the greatest football stars that perhaps they could never have been. They want their daughters to marry into money and success that perhaps they never have achieved. But every child is different. And I think it would be safe to say that we can thank God that they are not a clone of their father, right? Because I can tell you, if some children were clones of their fathers, we would be in a world of mess, right? So we can thank God for that. Every child is different. It is natural for a child to make mistakes. You know, we have, though, that's just the human nature about us. I read a story, and it's been some time ago, about a father who the child actually ended up dying from the abuse that it received because it would not stop crying. And maybe you've heard about this. The baby just wouldn't stop crying. And so And the father didn't know how to handle it, and so he would literally beat the child. But nonetheless, ends up the child passed away because of that. Well, oftentimes, we expect so much from, or I say we, a lot of parents expect so much from their kids. And when they don't get that expectation met, then they result to other things. And ultimately, it costs this child his life. So we need to understand that children are not perfect. And they're not ever going to be perfect, and they're going to make those mistakes. And instead of constantly criticizing their imperfections, acknowledge those imperfections and to love them through it all. They are not perfect, and they never will be. We cannot expect them to be perfect. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 21 says, "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." Thirdly, enjoy your children. Psalm 127 and verse 3 says, "Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward." Children are given to parents for them to enjoy, not to be a burden, not to be avoided, not to ignore, but to enjoy. Miss Kitty has mentioned on several occasions of going to ball games of her grandchildren, how much she enjoys that, right? That's the whole purpose of having children, is to be able to enjoy those things. And in order to enjoy them, then you have to be with them. And this is perhaps not a message or a point to anyone in our church here, but working in the legal system formally and working in the school system, and I'm sure those that work in law or have worked in law and work in the court system today, you see where kids don't have the parents in their life, especially their dads in their life. And it's sad because as a result, it's the ones that you often see in the court system. It's the ones you see that are on the streets and doing the things that are not to be done. And so in order to enjoy them, you've got to be with them. You know, my dad has always said, and perhaps a bit much, but nonetheless, he says, if you are going to be man enough to have a child, then you need to be man enough to take care of that child. And I believe that with all that I am. Enjoy being a father and make sure that you are there for your kids. Not only enjoy, but to listen to your children. These are things on how to be a good father. To listen to your children, to give them undivided attention, right? Not with, I saw a funny, it was kind of funny, but then it's kind of sad at the same time, about a cartoon character where the dad was, I don't know if he was reading the paper or watching TV, one way or the other, either way, and the kid was constantly trying to get his attention, right? And how true oftentimes that is. We, as dads, sometimes you have one eye on the TV or one eye on the newspaper and perhaps not giving the child your full attention, and you're not listening to them. When they have a problem, when they are worried or sad or lonely, you know, we don't need to give them cartoons to watch or video games to play. You know, we need to be a dad. They need the dad in their life. We don't need other things raising the kids today. Need to listen to the children. Proverbs 1 and 5 says, "The wise man will hear and will increase learning." The wise man will hear. Fifthly, to be a good father, must provide for your children. Provide. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, "But if you provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Even the lost provide for their families. And I would dare say, according to Scripture, you can't be a good father and not provide for your children. Now, does that mean to give them everything they want? No. Everything they need, right? There's a difference in a want and a need. But to provide for them, to provide for their every need. We are living in a generation where children whose parents have robbed them of the blessing of wanting and working and waiting for material things. I forget what it was, some kind of game. I'm not a gamer, so I don't know all the stuff, but it was mentioned at Starbucks the other day how this new game system came out recently, and people were standing in line for hours, right, to receive this game system, even camped out in the parking lot. You know, that's the society that we have become. We have that exchange of having the inability to determine a need and a want. We often think we need that. In essence, we only really want it. Parents, and as well as others, have spoiled children by giving them that instant satisfaction. You know, when I was growing up, my dad said, if you want a car, then you need to work to pay for that car. So we had to get a job, right? We didn't have a vehicle just handed to us. Yesterday, I saw a 17-year-old pull into to Starbucks in a brand new Mustang, fully outfitted, customized, a 17-year-old with no job. And I'm like, that would not happen in my family. But we have that generation where that is what we have. And we have, as kids today, has changed that from a want and need basis, and they've switched it around. You need to provide for your children. Provide for them what they need. But also train your children. To train them. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4 says, "And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nature and admonition of the Lord." We must teach and train children to respect authority, not only in home, but even outside the home, right? To have that respect for the elderly, to have the respect for those that even though we may not necessarily always agree with, but nonetheless, those in law enforcement, those in our military, those in our other places of government, to have that respect for them. We need to teach them to have that, because if they don't respect authority at home or at school or in the world, if it doesn't first start at home, they need to have respect. Teach children about the boundaries, the rules, the regulations. You know, that's all life is, right? It's a bunch of rules and regulations. That's how we live. And I will say that, and most of you, if not all of you, can probably attest to this morning, kids will test you. They will test you. I learned that in the school system. They will see how far they can go, right? So we need to make sure that we teach them for respect. Seventhly, I think probably the rest of these on this list is probably the most important. 1 Chronicles chapter 16 says, "Seek the Lord in His strength and seek His face continually." To be a good father, I think it's important that you pray for yourself. A lot of times people say, well, I don't like to pray for myself. I feel selfish when I'm praying for myself. But we need to pray for ourselves, right? We need that help from God in our everyday life. And so I don't think it is selfish. Even the Bible says to seek the Lord, to seek His strength, to seek His face. And it doesn't say just do it every now and then. The Scripture says do it continually. But do it continually. You don't have all the answers to the questions that may come. You cannot solve all of their problems. You may not have all the wisdom, the love, and patience to be the father that perhaps you ought to be. And without God's help, you can never be the father that God wants you to be. You need help, right? And you need God's help, and you can't do it by yourself, but with God's help. You can't. You need to pray for yourself. But also, on the flip side of that, not only pray for yourself, but pray for your children. This is so important to pray for your children. Psalmist writes in Psalm 55, he says, "Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice." You can't be with your children all the time, but God can. You cannot protect them wherever they go all the time, but God can. You can teach them right from wrong, but you cannot be there when it's time to put them to the test, but God can. How we need to pray for your children. Lift them up to God to do for them what you cannot. Also, we need to be, as to be a good father, you need to be a positive role model. Proverbs 22 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Being a good role model. Whether you like it or not, whether it's good or whether it's bad, they will, to one degree or another, model their lives after you. It may not be exactly like you, but they will, to some degree, model their life after you. You have inherited some of your father's characteristics. Your children have inherited some of yours. And whether you know it or not, you are influencing them every day to be good or bad, right? So you need to be a positive role model. I was thinking about that. We had a thing in school back last semester. And I forget exactly what the assignment was, but nonetheless, the kids in the class were asked about, who do you look up to, right? Who do you want to be like when you grow up? And, of course, a lot of children would mention, thankfully, a lot of them did mention, I look up to Jesus or God. A lot of them did say that. But a lot of them mentioned various other influencers of today, right? And some were okay, and some were like, wow, you know, why would you want to be like that person? You, as a father, are a role model. And a good father will be a good role model, and perhaps you need to be a godly role model for them. And then lastly, we've had a lot here to take in as being a good father. One of the last things is to prepare your children. Prepare them. Proverbs 23 and 24 says, "The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begets a wise child shall have joy to him. You are preparing for your children to leave home. I recall, it's been years ago, right? Back in 2007, I graduated high school. And I was preaching at this small church in Mississippi, and they never would call. I preached there my whole senior year of high school. They wouldn't call me as their pastor because I was still in high school, right? So I preached there every Sunday, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I was at that church preaching for them. And the Sunday before graduation, they issued a call for me to be their pastor, and I accepted it. And so we had graduation on Friday night. Saturday, I moved out of the house, right? 18 years old, free man, right? My mom bawled her eyes out, right? Because just graduated high school and then moved away, right? I was an hour and a half away from them, so they couldn't see me every day. And so it was a major change, right? To me, it was great, right? To an extent, until I started realizing now I have to cook for myself, right? I have to provide for myself. I have all these other things. I have to clean the house by myself, you know. Inevitably, from the time that your child is born until whenever it is that they leave home, you're preparing that child for that day to leave home. And someday, hopefully, they take what they have learned from you and begin to apply it in the real world, right? So you have roughly 18, 19 years to get them ready, preparing them for a life away from you is only part of the picture. If you haven't spent your time preparing them for eternity, that's a whole other ballgame, right? You can't choose which eternal path that your child will take. But you can choose to show them the way to heaven, or you choose just to ignore their spiritual destiny altogether. They have decided for themselves the path they will take, right? My parents could not make that decision for me. Your parents cannot make that decision for you. You choose the path. But I'm thankful, and I would hope that everyone here this morning can say that they are thankful for the godly influence in their life that got them to here, right? They got them where they are with God and the path that they chose to take. Although I am not a father, I will sympathize and say that it can't be easy, right? It can't be easy to be a good father. However, it's not impossible. It takes hard work. It takes a lot of praying. It takes making some hard decisions. And you can't do it alone. And God doesn't expect you to do it alone. And He doesn't want you to do it alone. May I encourage the fathers here this morning, don't leave Him out of the adventure that you're on. And perhaps you say, well, preacher, my kids are grown. You have grandkids, right? And you're just as much a father figure to them as their father is. And with God, you can accomplish all of these things. I know it was a lot this morning, but I thought, how fitting. I know a lot of times, that's probably the biggest thing that I get hit with as a pastor, is how can you preach on marriage? And how can you preach on Father's Day or Mother's Day when you're not married, right? You have no clue. And that may be true to an extent. But after 20 years in the pastoral ministry and seeing families and seeing couples and seeing kids grow up, and while I'm not living under the same roof, and I might can say thank God in some cases, right? But I can say what the Word of God says. And really, that's all that matters, right? My opinion couldn't matter for anything. But what does the Word of God say? So this morning, for fathers and mothers and grandfathers and grandparents, I would say, walk that journey with God, and He'll be your guide. Amen? I will extend a hymn of invitation, as I never like to close the service without doing so. Perhaps this morning you just simply need to say, Lord, help me be a better father, better grandfather, a better parental figure in some child that may not have that role model in their life. God, help me be better. Help me to be a good father, a good grandfather, a good parental figure, whatever the case may be. Will you seek God today as we sing? Kind of funny story. That song was actually going to be what I sung today. And as I was sitting here, I just felt that I needed to do the other one. And now I see why, right? I'm thankful to God that He is, without Him, we are nothing. Amen. We are absolutely nothing. But with Him, we can be extraordinary. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're so thankful, God, we've had this time to be in Your house, Lord, to worship You. Lord, we know that apart from You, we are nothing, and we can do nothing without Your wonderful grace and Your help and guidance in this life. And Lord, as we leave this place and go our separate ways, as we face the world tomorrow, Lord, help us to be a light, a beacon of hope that shines in such dark times. Lord, we pray for our friends in Israel as they are facing the battles that are ahead. And Lord, help us as Christians and even as a nation to stand with them. Lord, we pray for our leaders, for our military. Lord, that You would be with them in a special way as they guide us and lead us. Direct us, and Lord, grant us safety as we travel this week, and Lord, bring us back the next appointed time. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.